We finished this week's show with a special Enlighten Me segment. Last fall's University of Delaware Center for Political Communications National Agenda Series was called As We Stand Divided, focusing on the various divisions the country faces these days, be they gender, geographic, religious, cultural, or political. But in addition to hearing from various speakers about these divides and their impact, the Center for Political Communication also wanted to hear from students. That led to the Voices of the Divide audio essay contest, where students who feel marginalized had a chance to tell their stories about the divisions and divides they've experienced in short 2 to 4 minute essays. 50 UD students participated, offering personal and emotional stories on topics ranging from racism, immigration, and religion to politics, sexual harassment, and homophobia. Earlier this week, 10 finalists were honored at UD, and the first, second, and third place award winners were announced. Delaware Public Media was proud to partner on this contest, running a workshop to help students craft their essays and helping judge the entries. And in this week's Enlighten Me, we're proud to give you a chance to hear the top three essays, starting with the third place award winner, Fitting In, from Monique Harmon, a junior who shares her perspective of belonging to a religion that isn't considered to be part of the mainstream of American society.
I'm sorry, but your religion sounds stupid. No one, especially a child, should hear that something they believe in is stupid. My religion is holiness, one God, one faith, one baptism. And while it isn't mainstream like Islam or Christianity, it is in the Bible. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Before this happened, I was fragile, wondering why no one had heard of my religion. Ever since I was a little girl, I loved going to church. You would find me happily clapping my hands as the preacher slayed the organ. Then I would listen intently on the words that he spoke, feeling God speak through him even though I was just a child. I had a lot of energy and enthusiasm and wasn't afraid to show it. I was criticized for that. For a while, church did seem like a dream, only because I had to go back to school the next day and receive harsh looks from other students. They prodded me like an experiment. She looks different from us. Why does she wear long skirts? You can't wear pants? They make pants for girls too. Or, what's that thing on her head? They ask. Why doesn't she celebrate any holidays? They question. I believe in God, but we don't have to do all of that. All I could do was shake my head. They didn't understand what they were doing. Then one day, I decided to brush off all the comments. I decided that no one would understand me or my faith unless they went to church and read the Bible for themselves. Everything I believed in was in the Bible. So I just said the basics of my religion, hoping it would be enough for them to leave me alone. I knew most of them weren't really curious. They weren't my friends. They only asked me to make me uncomfortable. This continued through high school. When I was a freshman, I decided I didn't care about not being popular. I stayed true to myself and noticed that people gave me more respect. Once I graduated high school, I felt like I could finally breathe. I was no longer trapped. Now, when people ask me about my religion, I can talk about it without feeling judged, even share the YouTube links that direct viewers to our telecast. Nowadays, people have this respect for religions and will actually have a polite discussion about their faith. I'm not judged now because it's common for people to dress modestly. I don't care about what people think. I'm more expressive with my head coverings. I wear long, beautiful dresses, and people give me compliments on my style. Now, I don't try to fit in because I know that I can't. My personality doesn't allow me to. I'm at my best when I'm myself.
That was UD junior Monique Harmon and her audio essay, Fitting In. Next up, the second place award winner, Afraid, from UD junior Madeline Meritz, which depicts the anxiety and fear that women and girls experience because of unwanted attention and sexualization.
Put your headphones in. Keep your head down. Have your phone in your hand. You may need to call someone. Don't draw attention to yourself. Don't make eye contact. Don't say anything. Just walk and walk fast. Since the age of 12, I've been taught to be ashamed of my body. Not because I was fat or ugly, but because I was a girl with a body, and for that, I had become a sex symbol. I was distracting to the boys and had to cover up. That strap of my bra that I was so unbelievably horrified to be wearing in the first place was suddenly a call to men saying, "Come get me." It wasn't about the little innocent crushes anymore. It was bigger than that, and scarier than that, and I was a child. With the knowledge that my body was something that could be coveted came fear. Our bodies weren't ours anymore. They were for the onlookers. Don't wear that, it's too short. You're giving the wrong message. Look at her in that low-cut top. What a slut. I don't remember the first time I was catcalled. Isn't that sad? It's become such a mundane situation that few instances stand out to me. Most, though, include the same single word. Smile. God, why do they always tell you to smile as if you owe them something? It's crazy how just one small word can really violate you. That man on the street has somehow sent fear through your entire body. So what do you do? How do you react to a stranger shouting at you solely because you exist? You learn. You learn that that smirk is an invitation, that you're acknowledging his existence and showing that you're vulnerable. So you look down and you keep walking. Now that I've grown older, I don't feel any safer. I feel worse. The more my body matures, the more I fear that my outfits make it look like I'm asking for it. Some amazing strong women have taken stands against verbal sexual abuse by speaking out about the subject or making videos about how real it is. But sadly, I don't see much of a change in society. We still see victim blaming or hear the phrase, boys will be boys. And I don't see that ending anytime soon. So I put my headphones in, look down, and keep walking.
That was UD Junior Madeline Meritz and her audio essay, Afraid. And finally, we bring you the first place winner, After Dinner, from PhD student Oscar DePaz, who describes an encounter while cleaning up after dinner with his family.
I was around 13 or 14 at the time. Wanting to be a good grandson and get a little time outside, I told my grandmother that I would take the trash out that night. I grew up in a strict Latino home. Our neighborhood on the north side of Chicago was gang-ridden. On the corner of our block, members of the Latin Kings posted up. Just a block over, you'd wander into Latin Eagles territory. Once it got dark, parents of good kids did not let them go out. We had just finished dinner. If you looked out the window of our comedor that overlooked the alley where our dumpsters were kept, everything was taking on that shade of black that creeps over all things as the sun sets. The garbage was taken out every night after we ate. My grandmother, we call her Lilita, was a clean freak. She would finish sweeping el comedor y la cocina before I was even up getting ready for school in the morning. She was meticulous about her domestic life. She would rise before the sun to start preparing los tomatillos for salsa verde and frijoles for dinner. I asked her once, Lilita, ¿por qué levantas tan temprano para limpiar y cocinar? It was what she enjoyed doing, she shared. Lilita double knotted the reused shopping bag that held our garbage and handed it to me. Living on the first floor, my walk to the dumpster was not a long one. Our gate that led into the alley was a monstrosity. It extended 10 feet into the air and was two layers of wooden poles and chain link fencing just fused together. It was obviously not meant to be inviting, but instead to keep people out, something it was never really good at doing. Members of the gang in the neighborhood would climb over it all the time. They hung out in the back of our building smoking weed. Today the gate still stands as is. As I made my way into the alley, I had no sense of fear. The alley had been my playground. Me, Jose, and Luis would play every sport imaginable in that alley. The dumpsters marked off the end zone when we played football. After scoring a touchdown, we'd had to be careful that we weren't tackled by cars pulling into the alley off the street. For all its grime and decay, the alley was not a threatening place to me. The dumpster was so full that the lid was ajar. I lifted the lid and placed my tightly packed, double-knotted plastic bag on top of the already piled high trash. I began walking back. I was only a few feet from the monstrosity of a gate when a black sedan with tinted windows that wrapped around the car sped through the alley, suddenly sweeping in front of me and braking violently. The door swung open, and two cops with guns already drawn and pointing directly at me exited, shouting at me to get down on the ground. My grandmother ran out of our apartment yelling, "He's a good boy, he's a good boy!" My grandmother's use of English let me know the sense of panic she was feeling. She understood the language well, When she came to the United States from Guatemala, the only job she could find was working in textile factories or as domestic help. She always shared with me stories of the sweet children she spent nearly 15 years of her life caring for. But she rarely spoke English, and only in times of necessity. I remember feeling absolutely terrified. The cops asked, "What's in the bag? Where are the drugs?" I stammered that it was just garbage, and I don't know about drugs. They checked the dumpster. There were no drugs, just trash. It was over nearly as fast as it started. I never looked at the alley or myself the same again. The experience made me viscerally aware of the fact, by virtue of where I come from and just being myself, that to some I was a threat. A threat whose life was expendable.
That was UD PhD student Oscar DePaz and his winning Voices of the Divide audio essay, After Dinner. These essays have been technically reproduced for broadcast by Delaware Public Media. Congratulations to those award winners, and thanks to them and all who participated in the Voices of the Divide contest for enlightening us. You can find a link to all 10 contest finalists at our website, DelawarePublic.org.